Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs. But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. Express is in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges. Visit expresspros.com for a location near you. Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with Japanese green tea and real matcha. There are so many culinary treats to create with this precious powder that go beyond the traditional tea ceremony. Everything from lattes to baked goods to smoothies, experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf. Matcha is vibrant in taste and full of powerful health benefits. Get 25% off all matcha love products on itoin.com using code JANA. That's code J-A-N-A. At itoen.com, available on Amazon and itoen.com.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, this wine about it, we have Laura Tremaine. So she grew up in Oklahoma. She moved to Los Angeles when she was 22 years old. So she's worked in film, television, production for many years, MTV, VH1, Fox, Paramount Pictures, but now she is full-time writing. She has shared a lot about her life with anxiety, motherhood, and marriage. She has a podcast as well. But right now, she's got a book out called The Life Council, 10 Friends Every Woman Needs. There's a lot of times I get questions about friendships, friend breakups. So let's dive in with Laura Tremaine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Look, we both have neon behind us.
Our signs. What's your sign say?
It says share your stuff. It's kind of hard to see on the.
Oh, yep. There it is.
Yeah.
Do you share your stuff? You like sharing your stuff?
I mean, I've made a career of it.
Same girl. What's the downside for you of sharing your stuff? I'm curious, like where, because I have some.
I mean, there's a few. The obvious one would be relational, like with people in my real life of like, I attract people in my real life who are the opposite of sharers. Mm-hmm. And so they don't love that I share my stuff, even though I try to be very mindful and respectful of that. It's still, it's tricky. And then the other part, the second hardest part, I think, would be because I've been doing this for so long that when you change your mind on something, you change the way you believe, the way you vote, a take you might have had 10 years ago. When that changes, it's harder to walk it through because what makes sense to you in your spirit or even would make sense to people in your real life, people online or whatever have not followed all the dots. You know what I mean? So it's just like, and nor do they have to, but like, it's just harder to unpack a little bit.
Why do you think you attract more people that are private, like relationally? Because it's interesting because when I was dating post-divorce, a lot of the people that were very, like, very private, like they wanted to stay private. They relationally wanted to stay private, like, you know, and I was like, this is interesting that I keep picking the same person.
I mean, is it dumb to say opposites attract? Honestly think my first instinct when you ask that question, I always try to go with my kind of gut instinct, is not that I'm necessarily attracted to private people. It's that private people are very attracted to me. Mm. Like, I don't feel like I am as overtly taking something from their privacy as they might need from someone who likes to share and talk and... Doesn't mean I don't take anything from them, but you know what I mean? Just that particular aspect.
Like, you're saying maybe, like, it's a trait that they wish they had?
or that they're attracted to, mm-hmm. that they want more of, or that they like observing, you know, sure. like being in proximity to. Because a lot of people, they don't necessarily, I don't necessarily teach them to open up over time, but they like being in proximity to people who open up. Sure. Like they like listening or observing.
Yeah.
My husband would say that for sure. And then some of my closest friends would also say that. And then I have family members who would never say that. They're like, nope, they don't like it. And they still don't like it.
Right. Yeah. My boyfriend, he's definitely way more private. And you know, he was kind of had that conversation. Like, you know, I talk about a lot of things now. He's like, well, so I think the only thing I wouldn't want, you know, to talk about is when we have those, we face those hardships, because I used to have a podcast with my ex-husband. So I'm like, I would never go back to that, because that was like two open wounds. You know, that was an oversharing that I think affected us in the long run. Mm-hmm. So like, I would never do that again with any relationship moving forward again, because I saw the negative mm-hmm. Effects of that. Now there were positives, sure, but but also I think more so like negative. So I was like, I would never come in and be like, oh, I'm mad at this person. You know what I mean? Like I will always share us as in a positive light, you know, and because I think that helps, you know, keep the relationship strong too. Nothing, because mm-hmm. when you're having all these negative thoughts, it's like, it's not good.
I kind of worried about that with my book, writing a book about friendship. Even though I wrote about it very positively, sure. it felt like a little bit like what you're saying. Like when you see married couples go on a reality show about their marriage, and then what always happens is they get divorced. Like I felt that way about writing a book about friendship. I was like, am I going to write about all my friends and then end up friendless? Like, is this what's going to happen? Is this the natural trajectory of things? That has not happened so far, but I think it is human nature. It's almost like we're jinxing it, or when you put it out there, you know, that's a vulnerability that mm-hmm. you're exposing yourself to. And I try not to believe that God or the universe works that way, like in a vengeful way. Like you put yourself out there, so then you're going to get something bad back. I have to train my brain to not think like that.
No, I totally hear you. I've written something and it's, you know, writing things. I'm like, well, what if, you know, something like happens or whatever, but it's like your friends are, especially I'm sure the ones that you write about in your book are friends that have been on such a journey with you through a lot of your seasons. Now, I'm curious, like in that, like, are there, because you talk about the friends that you need, you know, are there new season friends in there? Are those the ones that you worry about, or is the ones that have been there for a long time?
Both. I probably care more about those that have been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. To damage those would be really detrimental to me as a human, versus new friends, which I love new friends. Actually, mm-hmm. the new friend chapter in the book is one of my favorite sections, but there's less stakes with a new friend if that ended, or if there was damage there with an old friend. You know, it's like such a part of your heart.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. My best friend Kat and I mean, the very few times we've had disagreements, it's like, oh my, it feels like it's that scary feeling of like, I can't lose this. It's like a family member, you know, it's like, that's how 15 years of like love and, but you know, people change and they grow and you just hope that they're there through you. And I mean, I feel very fortunate with the friends that I have that have stuck with me through some of my best seasons and some of my worst seasons and some of my ugly seasons, you know, where I haven't been the best version of myself. But I think, you know, I'm curious with your book, you know, a lot of why I think my friends, like I have the friends that will be like, I need you to look in the mirror on this one, you know, and mm-hmm. kind of call me out. Cause I need that.
Yeah. I mean, I start the book out with a little bit of a call out. The first section of the book is called A Friendship Reckoning, because in 2020, I said something hurtful accidentally. I just was mm-hmm. multitasking and not thinking it through on a group text. And it hurt one of my friends so badly. She was almost willing to end our friendship over it. Now, it was the height of the pandemic. Emotions were running high. Texts can obviously be misconstrued. But Yeah, it was definitely a thing. Like, I've had to walk through those hard friendship moments, had hard conversations, had to say, do we want to move forward? It's terrible. I wanted to start the book out that way because I didn't want anyone to think that I was coming from a place of perfect friendships.
Right.
Because I'm not.
Right. Why did you want to write a friendship book? What was that?
Because I've been sharing myself on the internet for over 10 years and the friendship topic kept coming up. Now, I will say I started when I was a blogger, like in 2009, like a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I started that blog from a place of loneliness. Mm. I had moved to Los Angeles from Oklahoma, where I'd had, you know, a hometown friend group and a college friend group and a summer camp friend group and a youth group friend group and all these things when I was young. And I moved to this city of 10 million people thinking I would have the same types of friends, and I didn't. And I spent a lot of my 20s working in film and television production. When I got married and we decided to start a family, I was at home without work friends, without very many local friends, and I was super lonely. And so I started this blog. Well, I blogged about a lot of things. I wrote about a lot of things for many years. But I did blog about this idea of not having very many local friends in this huge city. That came up a lot. And so many women would reach out and say they were lonely, but they were lonely in their hometowns, or they were lonely in their new cities or in their new marriages or whatever. And nobody could figure out why, like, nice people couldn't make friends, you know, like, mm-hmm. what was wrong with us? And so that just came up time and time again. I always knew that I wanted to write about it. But what held me back from writing about it for a long time was, first of all, there's not a ton out there about friendships. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot of books out there. And the ones that are out there are, like, very research driven, mm-hmm. or they're, like, by therapists or, you know, psychologists or whatever. And I was like, I don't have, like, the credentials to write a book about relationships, because I only have my own lived experience. I don't have, you know, academic background.
Sure.
But I do have, like, literally hundreds of hours of talking on my own podcast, writing on this blog, talking about it on social media, of hearing from other women over a decade about this topic. So I finally got myself to a place where I felt like, I can write about this. Mm-hmm. As long as I set it up as I'm not an expert, or I'm, you know, not a researcher here, I just want to start this as a conversation. This book should be a conversation, much like my own show is, because I want other women talking about it with their friends. Mm-hmm. And they talk about it with me. They need to talk about it in their friend circles or with their, you know, online buddies, whoever. But we need to be talking about some of these aspects of friendships. Nobody ever talks about friendship. We talk about marriage. We talk about parenthood. We talk about aging parents. We talk about childhood trauma. People do not talk about friends. We act like friends is just like water, just like there.
Or that they're going to stay there too, you know?
Yes.
And I think, you know, you bring up a good point with how you start the book, because something happened, and that was, again, like my best friend Kat, who's one of my co-hosts on my Monday show. Like, we've maybe had in 15 years three arguments that really, you know, were like rocked us. And the one recently happened when I was over in England, because I don't take a minute. When I respond back to something, I don't respond. I respond kind of feelingless, I guess, because I'm not meaning to hurt feelings, and I don't think that I'm going to hurt feelings, because my intention is not to hurt feelings. But I said a text that ended up hurting your feelings, but I was like, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings at all. But I didn't even think about how it, because I just put the text message out. It was very work related, but it was how I like said it. And, you know, her feelings are hurt. And I'm, you know, I'm talking to my boyfriend, like, I don't understand. But then I'm like, oh my God, that wasn't my intention. He's like, well, when you write it like that, I'm like, but that's like, why would she even think that? Like, she's my best friend. Like, and so I think that's hard, because we just think that they're bulletproof when they're not. And that was kind of a lesson. Then I had to go, well, shoot, I have to be mindful now of how I use my words, even in my girlfriend friendships. And I've been so aware since then, because I'm like, she's one of the most important people in my life. I don't want to upset her or make her think that she's not important or any of those things, you know?
Well, and also the other part of that is I have five core friendship philosophies in the book. And one of them is believe the best. So it doesn't mean that you didn't say it in your best way. I mean, clearly you didn't.
Right. I just can be very direct because we work together too. She's my day-to-day manager. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I just am very direct sometimes.
Right. So, and I believe you. And I'm sure she knows that about you. So she can still say, this hurt my feelings. I don't like it when you speak like this to me. Like I, you know, need a little bit more padding in a direct comment, whatever, however she wants to phrase it for you. Mm-hmm. But when you're having that hard conversation about this hurt my feelings, please don't, you know, speak this way or whatever. You start that conversation believing the best about one another. Mm-hmm. Like if she believed the worst about you or even not the best of like, yeah, you were trying to be mean. You treat me like a employee. I don't know, whatever, wherever her brain went. Instead, if you can both start a hard conversation, believing the best, like, I know that you didn't mean it this way because I know you and I trust your heart. However, when you text like this, it bums me out. And then you can believe the best about her. You believe, you know, that she's coming to you with pure intentions, that she's not trying to like cause a big work fight or whatever. If you don't believe the best about each other in one of these hard conversations, this is when you get these like deep rifts, when you start to like think, oh, she's actually secretly thinking this or that. She doesn't believe the best about me, so that it makes us defensive. Like, how could, like you just said, how could you think I was being mean? Like, you know me. You on both sides, you have to believe the best because you want them to believe the best about you. You have to offer the same grace to her, which it sounds like you guys did, but it's easier said than done for sure.
Did you know that 95% of pregnant women are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s? That's where Ritual comes in. Their prenatal contains 350 milligrams of eco-friendly, vegan omega-3 DHA in every serving, sourced from algal oil instead of fish. I loved Ritual. I took it when I was pregnant with Roman. I also now take their multivitamin. It's just an amazing everyday thing that I know is good for the body. A prenatal multivitamin made traceable with vegan, bioavailable, and clinically studied key nutrients for before and during pregnancy, like omega-3 DHA to support baby's brain development and choline and methylated folate to support baby's neural tube development. Their vitamins are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual works with world-class certification bodies to validate their products. Why settle for a multivitamin you're not 100% sure about? Ritual was literally built on trust, so you know it's the real deal. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/wine. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/wine for 25% off. One of my goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. So it's so important, obviously, for just the overall world, but just, you know, you feel better about sustainability. Well, I love being able to shop sustainably at Macy's. I really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. Finding the right person for your team can be challenging. When it's time to hire, turn to Express Employment Professionals. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 63% of hiring decision makers are planning to increase headcount at their company this spring, and more than half are doing so due to increased volumes of work. Don't let the work overwhelm you. Let Express handle your hiring. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. We're in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your staffing challenges. With more than 860 locally owned offices, you'll find one near you at expresspros.com. Each year, more than 70,000 businesses turn to Express to manage their hiring. Make the most of your time and leave recruiting and hiring to the experts at Express. Visit expresspros.com today. Why do you think friendship conversations like aren't talked about? Is it just because people can just they're fine to let go of them? Or is it like another work thing that they feel like they have to, like, you know, then going to like therapy with your friend?
Well, I do not think people are good to let go of them. Mm-hmm. Like we already mentioned, friendship breakups are, it's so painful. I have talked to so many women who've said that their friendship breakup of a best friend, like a deep friendship ending, was more painful than their divorce, was more painful than romantic breakups. Like it was that devastating. And culturally, we do not give it any weight. Like if you go through a romantic breakup, people are like, yes, stay in bed, have your grieving period. Nobody says that about friendship breakups. You just act like, oh, you're just going to like pick up another friend. Like, you know, you're out of milk, you get more milk. Like people treat friendships like it's this unending resource when I don't find that to be true. But to answer your question of why we don't talk about it more, I think we learn about friendships when we're really young, like elementary school age, when you first start to learn how to be friends, like be kind, share, you know, that kind of thing. And then we just never revisit the rules that we learn when we're young or the patterns that we get in when we're young. We literally never revisit it because it's almost like this thing in life that we take for granted. Like you learn to read. You don't need to relearn to read when you're an adult. Like you just, it's a thing we learned. We got it.
You
do it or you don't, which actually isn't true because we learn friendships and how to be a friend, like under a completely different life circumstances. So like we learn to be friends primarily at school. So we're at school together 8 hours a day. Even when we get to be young adulthood, like in college or post-college life, if you have roommates, whatever, you are learning friendship with a lot of time on your hands, like a lot less responsibility, a lot more resilience, frankly. And then you get to adulthood, life is so different. You have work, you have a mortgage, maybe you have kids. Maybe you have health stuff. I don't know. And suddenly you can be like, I don't have the same amount of time to give to friends. I don't have the same amount of energy. I don't understand why making friends takes so much effort when earlier in my life, it was so easy. It was sort of served up to me. That was my problem, is friends were always around. So when I got to Los Angeles, I was like, I didn't know you had to like make all this effort, like ask people on a friend date or like introduce yourself. Like I'd never had to practice any of those skills in the first 20 years of my life. And so it was like really eye-opening to me to become an adult. And I think that this is true for a lot of people. Like we have no idea. We are never taught that there's maintenance involved and effort involved in friendship. And for a lot of people, we don't ever really examine it until something bad happens, until we go through a lonely period, until we have a friend break up. So, you know, until we go through something where we're like, oh, I maybe haven't paid as much attention to friends as I should have.
Well, I think that piece is hard. Like, I mean, I have a high school best friend, you know, since middle school, and we don't talk hardly at all, really. I mean, we maybe catch up once a month, you know, it's been a little bit more now, but before it was a couple every or so months, but I mean, I still love her, you know, very much. It's just, you know, with kids and getting older, it's different states. Like it's really hard. But I will say that the fallout friendship, so I'm curious about, because in my mind, I'm like, there's, you know, there's been one for sure that really hurt. But in my mind, I go, okay, well, I guess that friendship just didn't mean as much to them as it did to me. And like, I wouldn't have wanted that anyways, if that's how it was going to be.
Well, why do you assume it didn't mean as much to her? Because she was willing to end it?
He sold something to a story.
Oh.
And yeah. And it was my best friend. So it was, that was really hard, you know, because like we had a fallout and then you go do that. So it's like, were you even my best friend?
Yeah, no, that is a betrayal.
Yeah.
So that's different, I think. That's like in a different category of friendship breakup. Like a betrayal, especially like of that magnitude, is enormous and something you'll never get over that. I mean, that can't be repaired. No. Most friendship breakups, I think, are, you know, you hurt my feelings, we're growing apart.
Do you think those kind of friendships are repaired?
I think they can be. But I don't think most friendship breakups or friendship changes like we're talking about involve immense betrayal. What you're describing is immense betrayal. I'm just saying that to affirm to you that that is a whole different level of grief that you have to go through on top of leaving, on top of losing the friend.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but yeah,
still.
I mean, it was not fun. But that's what I always kind of, that's when like my arm kind of went out to a lot of, like I keep people at very, I have a very small circle and I have a hard time letting other new friends come in.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't, I'm like, who can I trust? Right? And like, who's not going to say something or, you know, so.
Well, it seems like that would be partially a public figure problem, like in some ways, like you're going to have different considerations than other people do. But that affects a lot of people too. Like I grew up in a really small town, so public figure is relative, right? But it's the same thing of who can you trust? Who is going to harm my reputation or share a secret or anything like that? Anyone who's gone through something hard will tell you that they circle the wagons, right? With like the closest people, because your betrayal happened in adulthood, but this happens to a lot of us when we're young. If you get mean girled, if you're bullied, if your best friend in high school steals your boyfriend, all those different stories, that can for sure affect the way that you do friendship going forward, even on, you know, just in your own life. It only affects you, but it affects you like for the rest of your life, of how you walk in friendship. Like I a lot of times hear women say some version of this diminishes a little as we get older, but when we're younger, don't you hear women who are like, oh, I'm a guy's girl, like I only have guy friends. All I hear when I hear a woman say that is, who hurt you? Like somebody hurt you. It doesn't mean that you can't prefer to be around men and like really love that dynamic. I'm sure you do. But when you swear off a whole gender set, that is probably coming from a place of hurt. You probably got mean girled. You probably lost your best friend in some really painful way. And so now you don't trust women anymore. You know, you only trust men. And yeah, I just think we get into these habits. A lot of times they start when we're young and we never examine them when we're older, of like, well, why don't I have more friends? Or why is it hard for me to make friends? Or why don't I trust people?
And do you write about all that in your book?
I mean, yeah, not quite as exactly as we're talking about it, but for sure I talk about the patterns that we learn when we're young and how it affects our adult friendships. The main point of the book is more, though, about addressing our loneliness. Because so many of us feel lonely in so many different types of circumstances, in so many cities, big and small. And I really wanted to write about what I had to do, which was change my perspective on friendships. When I didn't have very many local friends in LA, I had to make something work for myself. I turned to the internet. I made internet friends, which I do write about. I poured into my childhood friends that were back in Oklahoma, which is where I was from. But I was like, I'm just going to invest in these relationships, even though they're not local. Like, I'm going to call more, email more, that kind of thing. I looked around at coworkers, and even though they weren't like my type of gal pal that I pictured, like this was a coworker, but that's an intimacy because we saw each other every single day. We had lunch together every day. They understood a part of my life, my work life, that other people didn't understand. So I'm going to sort of elevate these people that are in my life, which is what a lot of the book is about, looking around at your existing landscape. And instead of feeling like I don't have any friends or I don't have enough friends, or, you know, feeling this lack that a lot of us feel, which makes us feel lonely, disconnected, to look around who is there and see like, okay, maybe I wouldn't have given this person the title of friend because they're my neighbor, they're a sports mom, they're a coworker, whatever. But I'm going to see that actually they are a part of my daily life. I'm a part of theirs, and sort of elevating all of these relationships in our life that we either don't give credit to, or like another big piece, I think, is we have a friend, but she doesn't tick a certain box for us. Like, she's super fun, but like you would not have a heart to heart with her, Or the opposite. Like, she's great for a heart-to-heart, but, like, maybe she's a stick in the mud. I say that because I'm that person. Like, I will love to deep dive with you, but, like, I'm not ever described as fun, probably. So instead of seeing, like, our friends, like, like, she's not quite, like, she's not this or that or whatever. Like, I really want a friend that's XYZ, that we can be like, no, let the heart-to-heart girl be the heart-to-heart girl, and then find you a fun friend that never wants to go deep. Those are two different people. That does not have to be the same person. And they are going to serve on your life council. And what a joy it is to, like, see people in their strengths instead of thinking that they're not fulfilling you in some way. This also frees you up for you to be that way too. Like I just said, like, I'm not exactly the fun friend. I have other people that I let be the fun friend. Like, I'm going to let call me when you want a heart to heart. If you want a margarita, call Tracy. Like, I just,
for sure. That's how we have, like, there's five of us in a little queendom. We have, like, a little queendom chat, but it's like every single one of us have the, like, if you're going to go, if you want just, like, a really fun, get dressed up, you're going to go with Pammy. If you want, like, a heart to heart, you're going to come to me. Like, we will spill everything together. If you want just to, like, chill out, watch TV, you're going to go to Kat. Like, it's like, we all have our thing, and it's like, but together we're great, you know?
Well, that is the life council. That's the whole book. You already have it. You don't need to read it.
Okay. Well, that was my next question. Cause you say, you know, the 10 friends you need, I was like, cause I was like, obviously, I want the listeners to read the book as well, so not give them all away, but, like, what's one friend you really need?
Oh, I'll give them all away. I have no problem. I want people to read the book, but I also, like, want people to kind of know what they're getting into. I'll read you all 10, but we can focus on whichever one kind of piqued your interest.
Okay.
There's the daily duty friend, which, by the way, I did not have a daily duty friend till I was 40 years old.
Oh, there's the best. That's my girl, Tanya. I think when I hear a daily duties, it's like things that we, you know, like, we have the same sports kids and we do the sports activities together. And, like, we, you know, I help pick up kids, same school, stuff like that.
Same. Mine is a fellow sports mom. But I think when we think of friendship, we think all friends should be daily duty friends. Like, oh, we text every day. We talk all the time. And my deepest friendships are not all that. I didn't have a daily duty friend, like I said, till I was 40, but I've always had friends. Okay, here's the other. The old friend, the business bestie, the fellow obsessive. That's a big one. That's a popular one. The battle buddy.
Okay. What's the battle buddy?
Someone who is going through the same battle you are.
Okay, got it.
And that can be any battle, you know, surface level or deep. And they understand this battle in a way that other people don't. And maybe you only bond on the battle. Like, again, kind of like the coworker, maybe you aren't connecting in other ways. Your life circumstances don't look anything else alike, but you're both walking through this particular fire. That kind of companion is, like, absolutely priceless. Okay, then there's the yes friend. That's the fun friend. The mentor.
The yes friend's also a dangerous friend, though. I've had to really nip those.
Wait, say more.
Because I need to be challenged. I need to, like, be held to being, and I can do it on myself now, but in my 20s, the yes friends were the worst of my friends. Because 20 Janas was not great. 30s, you know, now I can, like, I'm going to be 40 this year. So, like, now I'm like, okay, like, I can call myself out now. I don't really, like, whether it's a yes or a no. It's like, but back in 20s, those were, they were fun, but they didn't help me become a better version of myself. But I guess that wasn't their job. It was mine all along.
I hope that they gave you some good memories.
They sure did.
That's right. That's right. And that's a value. You can be like, and my yes friends are in the past. They live in my scrapbook. And
we don't really. Yeah, they live in Los Angeles and they're still there.
here we go. Okay. The mentor, the password protector, the new friend, the soul sister. And then there's a bonus that I write about, not one of the 10 friends, but there's a seat at the table called the empty chair.
I love that. Sounds like my therapist. I like that. The empty chair.
The
They always say moms are really hard to shop for, but the truth is moms will love everything, especially if it's coming from Macy's. Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. You can shop by price, $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more. So if you don't know what to get them, Macy's got you covered. Or they have gift lists if you are really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, for the plant lover or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana perfume, Coach floral printed leather, Cassie crossbody bag. Whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop Macy's.com/giftfinder. Finding the right person for your team can be challenging. When it's time to hire, turn to Express Employment Professionals. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 63% of hiring decision makers are planning to increase headcount at their company this spring, and more than half are doing so due to increased volumes of work. Don't let the work overwhelm you. Let Express handle your hiring. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. We're in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your staffing challenges. With more than 860 locally owned offices, you'll find one near you at expresspros.com. Each year, more than 70,000 businesses turn to Express to manage their hiring. Make the most of your time and leave recruiting and hiring to the experts at Express. Visit expresspros.com today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles in operation. Compatible device and vehicle require.
What do you signify as the empty chair? Is it someone that's like in the like a moment, or is it just a feeling thing? Or,
well, I wanted to write about the empty chair because I wanted to give space in the book for friendship breakups, friendship loss, which we already talked about. But I also really wanted, so that's the first part of the empty chair section. But I also really wanted to keep a chair empty at your metaphorical life council table as like hope for the friends to come, like almost like I leave a light on for you. Like I'll leave an empty chair for you, because I think sometimes, as we already talked about circling our wagons, sometimes we have like a closed off vibe of like, I have all the friends I need. I don't need more on my to-do list. I don't have capacity for a new person. And if that's the energy that we're putting out, and sometimes we go through seasons where that's the best we can do, which makes sense. But also, there are so many amazing people that can come into our life, that can flow into our life. And if we do not have a metaphorical empty chair for them, we are going to miss out on an amazing relationship. And so I always wanted my circle to be open and not closed. And so that required having an empty chair. It's two-sided. It's the chair can be held in grief, in memorial, in, you know, sadness of a friendship ending. But then it can also turn and be like, well, I have an open seat at my table.
Right.
Sort of like Taylor's, that's like Taylor Swift's blank space. I have a blank space for you.
I know. I love that, because I'm a big believer that God sends you people all the time.
Yes.
And so it's being open, open eyes to that. Like I will welcome people in, when it feels like, you know, that empty seat. Like I love that. Even though I can be guarded and not trust, I still am open to the like, okay, is this someone that like is supposed to move in me in a certain way and like, you know, help me in with this season or something, or, so I'm very mindful of that piece. And I'm also curious too, to wrap up, there's a lot of, when we do talk about friendships, a lot of people are like, how do you deal with friendship breakups? So it's like, if there's someone out there that's listening that wants to reconcile a friendship breakup, but they don't want to be the first one, right? Because like, I know like with me and my best friend, it's like, sometimes we're just so stubborn. And so it's like, we want to be the first one to be like, I'm sorry. And so like, how would you, like, what would you say to the person that like misses their best friend? They had a fallout and they want to like get it back.
Okay. Well, you have to lose the ego part of it. You have to, you just have to talk yourself off that ledge and be the first to reach out. And then let me explain what I did with my friend that I described, that we had a text rift in the middle of the pandemic. It's how I start the book off. I could tell by our interactions after I said the thing that hurt her feelings that she was so willing to end our friendship, and I did not want that to happen. So what I did was, this is a silly story, but I am glad to tell it. I asked her to come over so we could talk face to face. We sat in the backyard because this was fall 2020. We sat in the backyard 6 feet apart. I set up my backyard. It looked like a date night.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed. I love that.
I had flowers. I had champagne. I put like candles out. Like I almost giggled once I kind of got it going because I was like, this fully looks like I'm trying to seduce her. It's fine. I wanted to give the conversation and the friendship like a reverence. Like I wanted her to walk in the backyard and feel like I cared, because I did.
Right.
And that this was like my last ditch effort to make this work. So I did this because I had had a friendship breakup in the past, a dear, dear friendship breakup in my past, that I didn't fight for that friendship. I let it end. I had so many regrets after for all the things I didn't say. Even if the friendship was going to end, I wish that I had expressed things in a different way. You know, just like we do with romantic relationships when we are like, I understand why this is ending, but also I want to like leave it all on the table. Like I want to say all the things. I had not done this with this friendship in my past. So if this 2020 friendship rift I was going through, if it was going to end, I was not going to make this same mistake. Like I was going to leave it all out on the blanket with the flowers. Like I was going to let her know if she chose to end it. I wanted her to know I loved her and that I was sorry and everything.
And you did everything you could do.
I did everything
I could
do.
You can walk away going, okay, I did everything. Yeah.
Why do we
love that.
Why do we only put that type of effort into romantic relationships? Mm-hmm. Like my friendships are so important to me. I didn't want it to end. I treated it like the weighty conversation that it was. And she told me later when she walked into the backyard, she was definitely sort of mad in like a defensive mode, whatever. And then when she walked in, she sort of melted because she could see immediately what I was trying to do. And we still went on to have a hard conversation. We still both cried. We still had moments where we were defensive and irritated, but we were sitting with these flowers and candles.
Did she accept the final rose?
Yes, she did. And, you know, this actually sort of ties back to the empty chair in a weird way, because you have to be willing to receive. You have to be willing to receive what people are offering to you. Mm-hmm. And I was offering a sincere apology and a hope to mend that friendship. And she chose to receive it. I'm glad she did.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, I love that. Well, I'm excited to read your book.
Yay.
So thank you, Laura, so much for coming on the show. Everyone get the Life Counsel, 10 Friends Every Woman Needs. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
This was awesome. Thank you for having me.
Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with real Japanese matcha, perfect for hot or cold brewing. Matcha is rich in vitamin C, catechins, EGCGs, and L-theanine. Enjoy a delicious matcha latte or smoothie with this convenient green tea powder made from Japan's treasured matcha, finely milled from high-quality green tea leaves. Get 25% off all matcha love products on Itoan using code JANA. That's code JANA at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com. You know, I don't even know where to start with this, because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.